You're listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode 20, our hosts Mitch Glenn and Brad Wigman interview Kent Driscoll, a crappie tournament pro and pro staff manager for B&M Poles. Tackle Time features Pico Lures Piddle Shad. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Wigman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the Easy Keeper Coil system. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Pretty exciting today. We have all kinds of great guests go on our show, but some are more special than others. And I have to say that because Ken is one of my favorite people. Mitch, who do we have on the show today?
Man, we got the B&M Whiz Kid, Mr. Kent Driscoll, on the phone.
Kent, are you really the Whiz Kid?
Don't know about the Whiz Kid, but I guess you could call me the B&M Kid. So, hey there, guys, glad to be on here this afternoon.
Kent, hey, buddy, at our age, anything that involves kid in our name's great, ain't it?
Yeah, you got that right. Fishing and kids, man, they kind of go together, you know what I mean?
That's right, you bet.
Hey, Kent, tell us a little bit about yourself for the people out there that don't know who you are.
I got you. Well, let's see. I live in Nolensville, Tennessee now, which is a suburb of Nashville, and been here about 5 years. And I'm in the wine business. I'm vice president of sales for a distributor here in Nashville, Tennessee. And I've been in the grocery business my entire career. I worked for Anheuser-Busch selling beer for years, and I worked for Conagra Foods for years. So I've always been on the sales side of things. And, you know, that's my big boy job. But my part-time job and you know, the one I guess I love the most is working for B&M as the pro staff manager. I've been with Jack Wells now for about 15 years. He basically asked me to create his pro staff and put it all together years ago. And, man, we've done that, and we've grown and grown and grown, and we've got a really big group of guys now, and we've just been very successful, with creating great fishing poles and reels. And, you know, we kind of pride ourselves in making a crappie pole or, you know, a panfish pole, for every sport. And in the past few years, we've branched out a little bit. We've got into catfish, and most recently we've, got into some inshore, saltwater. So,
is that right? Wow.
Yeah. So we've got,
that's a big market right there now.
And it is. And to be honest with you, Sam Heaton, who is probably our longest, standing pro staffer, he was there before I ever, started with B&M. Sam got us into the market, and, we've got a Sam Heaton sea salt series, and, got a couple different poles there that Sam has put together and spinning. I think we got a couple of spinning poles and a couple of bait casters, I believe is what they are. And, I haven't actually seen them just yet, but, just heard about them. And, I know that, you know, anything that's got Sam Heaton's name on it has got to be really, really good. And, you know, Sam, he retired from Johnson Outdoors, and he still lives down in South Florida. And he does some saltwater guiding down that way. And so that's kind of how that happened. But I got to tell you, we got a really good track record from kind of using this formula where we come up with a pole and we field test it and we go back and tweak it. And then we go back out with it, field test it again. And, you know, we use fishermen's feedback to develop new product. And it's just been a really good, formula.
Not very hard to sell something when you let somebody tell you what they want to buy.
That's it. And, you know, we've had a really good business strategy there. And, you know, being part of the B&M family, it's been a really good thing for me. I mean, I've made a lot of friends in the fishing industry and, contacted a lot of sponsors and just it's kind of my friend group, so to speak. I talk to a lot of these guys on a regular basis. I keep up with what's going on in the fishing world and, you know, what lakes are hot and what are not, and, you know, kind of who's doing what. And, you know, we've got a wide variety of guys, from tournament fishermen to guides and some that do both. And, you know, we've got some young guys and we've got some older guys. So the fishing industry is changing over the years. It's become more and more social media oriented. It is. And more and more people are looking to learn, from social media these days. You know, if someone wants to learn how to tie a new knot, hey, they just Google it and look it up and you'll find a YouTube video or
YouTube University, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of cool things going on. And then, you know, other than that, just married here and I've got a daughter that's 16, she's in high school and we enjoy living in the Nashville area. I call Percy Priest my home lake. It's about 20 minutes down the road here. And that's why I fish on a regular basis now. When I was in Atlanta for a few years, and then I was in Memphis for 15 years. And prior to that, I was in Jackson, Mississippi for 3. So I really cut my teeth and on the Mississippi lakes, which was outstanding. We all know that, you know, Grenada and Arkabutla and Sardis and Enid are really good lakes.
That's a tough place to learn to crappie fish there, isn't it?
Yeah. But that was a lot of fun. So I've just kind of bounced around a little bit with my career, but in the Southeast. But I tell you, I've enjoyed working with B&M and I plan to continue to do it. So it's been a good ride.
So are you still driving that War Eagle boat?
I am. Yeah, War Eagle boats. I've been sponsored by these guys for about 10 years, and I helped them develop the Predator, which is their crappie boat, the 18 and 19 footer, and then they got into this 2170 Blackhawk, which is what I have now, and. It's big. It's 21 feet long. It's got a, 70 inch base, and I can sit 3 people across the front or 3 across the back and fish comfortably. And, for tournament fishing and fun fishing or even guiding, that's been a really good boat, man. And I like having the room. I like having the space. You know, when you got to get out on that big, the big water, when it's kind of rough, it really does make a difference.
Yeah, big. It's a big boat. There's no doubt about it. So it is an aluminum boat, right?
Yes, it definitely aluminum boat, and that kind of fits me the best. I'm pretty rough. I'm pretty rough on boats, man. I'll take them in 8 or 10 inches of water, and I'll fish the heavy stumps, and get in the backwaters with it. I really like backwater fishing more than I do anything, fishing, in shallow water and heavy cover. And, I'm just, I'm not scared to take that boat into that kind of environment. And, the cool thing about it is a boat like that, even though it's that big, you can get into, like when we fish down in Louisiana, we've got into some backwater areas down there that the fiberglass boats just can't make it. They're too heavy and they get hung up in that shallow water. But this War Eagle, man, if it'll float, 6-7 inches of water, we can get into some pretty tight places in it. So it's been a great boat.
Get back in there in Grenada and do a little weight fishing sometime.
Oh, absolutely, man. I have waited in the past couple of years because the water's been so dadgum high. And, these past 2 years, that water's, you can't even get to the bank because there's so many trees and so many bushes. But, you know, it's just been at flood stage. But you know what? Hey, the fishing's going to be really good in the next few years and years to come because of it. So some really, really good spawns, no doubt.
Right.
What's your
favorite? It's been pretty good down there here lately.
What's your favorite B&M rod to fish with then? Since you can, you have your selection of all those rods, like which one, if you just had to go, you'd be like, this one rod, this is the rod I'm taking.
Yeah, I tell you what, the Duck Commander Jig Pole Series is my favorite. And it comes in 10, 11, and 12-foot sizes. I use an 11 most of the time. I've gotten addicted to this LiveScope stuff here lately. And, exactly. So, I've been doing a lot of single pole fishing and I use the 11 and 12 footers. I fish with a slip float cork rig. And I also single pole vertically jig fish. And, you know, that's around here. That's kind of how I fish. I put out a lot of structure around here. A lot of brush, and I typically pull up on it, I take a cork rig first, and I stay back from it, and I'll fish that entire brush pile with a slip float in a minute, and I'll catch as many fish as I can, and after I catch several, and they kind of get spooky, they have a tendency to move down in that brush and get real tight on that brush, and I'll take that Duck Commander jig pole. And with either a 16th or an 1/8 ounce jig, and then I'll drop it down vertically right on top of those fish. And that pole's got it's got some extra backbone to it. It's got a cork handle. It's got two double touch systems on it, which lets your finger touch the rod blank. And it's just got some. It's just balanced well, and it's got some really good backbone. And it's light. And that's when you're fishing all day with single pole, and that's important for me.
You got the rod that long in your hand, light matters, don't it?
Yeah, it does matter. It does matter. And, you know, there's times, we've got a new pole out called a stick, which is a live scoping stick. And I love it for that type of fishing. But when you're fishing like that, you're not fishing as much as you are looking, if that makes sense. You're scanning more with that live scope. But the way I fish over here, I've got, if I'm on a brush pile, I'm fishing, and I'm not targeting an individual fish as much as I am, say, a whole group or a whole school of fish. But, this slip float rig's pretty special because you can fish it from 3 feet deep to 25 foot deep. And I've gotten to where I'm fishing it year round. Like right now, I'm fishing in 20 foot of water to 22 foot of water, and I'm fishing anywhere from 14 to 15 foot deep. And I use a little micro bobber stopper. I can reel it up inside the eyes. And it actually will reel up inside the reel, too, if you need it to. And, I underhand pitch it out there, and I typically pitch it about 20 or 25 feet, let it go down. And, it's just a really effective way to fish. And that pole and that setup, you know, when you're fishing that deep, you need something with some good backbone when you set the hook. And that particular pole, it's my go-to, man. I can use my slip float rig or, I can vertically fish, jig fish with it. And,
That's the LiveScope rod you're talking about?
No, it's the Duck Commander. It's the Duck Commander pole.
Oh, the Duck Commander. Okay.
Yeah. The Duck Commander pole. And, now if I'm going down to Mississippi and I'm a live scope, I'm going to use what we call the stick. And,
the stick. Okay.
Yeah. That's the 13 footer. It's a heavy duty, live scoping type pole. It'll boat flip those 2 and 3 pounders all day long.
So, okay.
Yeah. Which we don't recommend on a regular jig pole. Let me just put that out there.
You're right. Yeah.
The stick itself, yes, that's fine. If you want to boat flip them, that's fine. I like to use a net myself, that's another one of our new poles we're pretty proud of right now. So it's been quite a success for us. Sure has.
So you talk about certain depths that when you're live scoping, what depth are you targeting when you're live scope fishing, say with a stick?
Yeah. With the 13 stick foot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the 13 foot stick. So, in the spring, we're typically fishing anywhere from about 5 to 10 or 11, 12 foot of water. You know, the water is just now warming up. You got water temps in the upper 50s to low 60s. The fish have a lot of time to just they have a lot of tendencies to roam and just suspend that time of year out no man's land. And they'll get out there, you know, pre-spawn and kind of sun themselves around these bays and the mouth of these bays. They're getting ready to go to the bank, but they're not ready just because the water temperature's not there. So you get a lot of suspended fish, and that 13-foot stick is it's longer. It lets you reach out there to them. And, you know, of course, when you're using that live scope, you see the exact depth those fish are. And when you drop your bait in the water, you see your bait, and you lower it right down to them. You try to keep it right above their head and just barely out in front of them, you know, where they can see it and kind of follow it. And let me tell you, when you see one drop his tail and look up, you better hold on because he's going to thump that jig. Yeah, he's going to thump that jig. And then, you know, after the spawn, these fish have a tendency to move out more towards the, towards deeper water. They'll get out in the, you know, the 10 to 15 foot range. And then once summer kicks in, you know, they start getting out in the deeper water, the 15 plus, kind of depending upon where you are, 15, 20, maybe 25 foot of water. And they'll still suspend on you, or they'll get on some cover or get on some structure, man-made, you know, structure like brush piles and stake beds or, you know, old stumps, you know, especially if you're down at, you know, some of the Mississippi lakes, they'll get out there on that standing timber, you know, like at Sardis or somewhere. And they'll suspend around that timber, and man, with that live scope, you know, you can just pick them off, man. You just kind of ease through there real slow. And a lot of it is reading the fish and their mood. You gotta figure out what kind of mood they're in. When you get out there, will they sit still for you, or are they spooky, you know, or do they want something small, a different, a smaller type bait or something along those lines? Each day's a little different. And, it's just part of kind of figuring out the pattern that the fish are on. And sometimes you got to pitch to them. You know, sometimes they get real spooky, they get pressured, and, they'll run from you when they get, you know, they know you're there. You get around 20, 25, you know, 30 feet, they'll start swimming away from the boat. And, you know, when that's the case, you gotta reach out there and pitch a bait out there to them, or take a long pole. And I tell you what I've been doing when they do that, I've been taking a 16-foot Bucks graphite jig pole, which is, you know, that's our franchise jig pole. Right. I spool it up with some 10-pound braided line and a jig. And I'll actually pitch, you know, with the length of that rod, you know, you can pitch a bait out there about 30 feet real accurately, about double the length of the rod. And you can, you know, pitch that jig just past them and just let it fall right down there to them. And you control the depth by holding the pole up, okay? And you can kind of feather that jig right down there in front of them. And, you know, a lot of guys cast. You hear a lot about casting to crappie now that are live scoped. And, you know, this whole live scope thing's kind of opened up a new style of fishing. And, you know, we got, so you got a lot of guys that are, they're really trying to figure out this live scope thing. And, you know, the reason is you can tell what the bigger fish are. You can track those bigger fish down. And I will tell you that, you know, these tournaments this past year, and the majority of them are being won, I'd say 95% of them are being won by guys live scope. And they're catching some bigger fish.
Me and Brad, you know, we try to catch them all and sort out the ones we want.
Yeah, well, that's what the average, weekend warrior anglers do. They use their live scope to quite honestly just catch numbers and numbers of fish. And I tell you, man, it has made me be more proficient. You know, now I can pull up to a brush pile and drop that live scope down, and I can tell right away, number one, if they're crappie, you know, number two, how big they are, you know, number three, if they're suspended above that brush pile, they're going to bite. I'm going to catch them. And I can see the exact depth they are. And, you know, a lot of times when I pull up to brush pile, I fish for the closest fish first. You know, the fish that are at about 10 or 15 feet, I try to catch them first. That way I don't spook the fish that are, you know, 15 or 20 feet from the boat. And right. same thing with the water column. I'll catch the fish that are in the top of the water column first. I'll catch them at 10 feet. I'll catch two or three. I'll fish about a foot, 2 foot deeper. I'll catch a couple more. And I tell you, man, and then sometimes I pull up to brush pile and I look in there and I say, man, that's nothing but brim. Or that might be, you know, yellow bass. We got a lot of yellow bass around here. Or they might be small crappie. And I just say, hey, you know what? I'm not seeing what I want to see. I'm going to move on to the next spot. And and that's where it comes. You know, that's where the time savings comes in right there. Where in the old days, we'd pull up to a brush pile. We might fish that brush pile for 15 or 20 or 30 minutes, you know, trying to figure out what's in there. Now, with a live scope, you can see what's in there. So, it's been a pretty fun, fun tool to get to use and learn how to use. And I am by no means a novice like some of these guys are. But it sure has improved my fishing. I can tell you that.
So, I got to ask, when are you going to grow a beard like your partner, your team partner, TJ Sands? When you grow in the beard and, the ponytail?
Yeah, that one, let's just say I'm follically challenged, so I'm probably not ever going to a ponytail, and I'm going to let TJ rock that look. So he's a young gun, and he's one of these super live scopers. Him and I are teaming up.
You're like good cop, bad cop there, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And, but him and I are teaming up for 2021 to fish, and, it's going to be fun, man. I fished with John Harrison for 15 years, and John is he's slowing down and kind of stepping back from fishing tournaments and not guiding near as much. And he's just fun fishing now. And he let me know, you know, he just was ready to kind of slow down a little bit. And, man, I've had a good run with that guy. So, we've had a ton of fun and had a lot of success. And so I'm looking forward. I'm going to keep grinding and fishing these tournaments. And, you know, I'm going to give a new partner a try. And TJ, man, he's a great live scoper. I don't know if you guys follow him on social media, but if you don't, you should. He's taken that live scoping and that stick style of fishing and really put his own spin on it. And the way he fishes, he fishes very slow, very methodical. He controls his boat with a hand control remote on his trolling motor versus everybody that uses a foot control. And he has gotten so proficient at it, he doesn't even know that remote's in his hand. And if you watch him, he's got his hand on his remote and he doesn't even look at it. He knows exactly where the buttons are, left and right, speed ups, you know, slow down. And his boat control is phenomenal. And I tell you what, man, he's down there fishing those Mississippi lakes, and the guy is catching, I'm talking about, some monster crappie. He calls them donkeys. And I've been with him, and him and I fished 2 days back in the spring, and we caught 40 fish over 2 pounds. We had 3 fish over 3 pounds. It was incredible.
Wow.
And that was, honestly, that was my first live scope, true live scope trip. This was back in March. And, man, I tell you what, it was impressive, man. And ever since then, you know, I've just been trying to learn it and apply it, you know. And, man, he's been a big help, you know, showing me how to use it and tune it and everything else. So we got some tournaments coming up. What do we got coming up? ACT, the Washita River, is coming up at the end of August. And then a Grenada tournament in September. And then, Ross Barnett in October. So we've got a couple of 3 ACT tournaments coming up. They've got a kind of a limited schedule this year, and they've had to push some tournaments back a little bit because of the COVID. But we've got those coming up. So I'm looking forward to fishing those with TJ. It's going to be a lot of fun. I expect we'll shoot pretty hard at them, and you know, hopefully get some good finishes.
Well, we'll be checking in and watching for you.
Yeah, man, be looking for us, because we're gonna be out there for sure.
All right. Well, that pretty much does it for this show. We sure appreciate you hanging in there, Kent, and giving us some information on B&M rods and giving us some more insight on LiveScope. You know, that seems to be the deal. Some of us are number guys, and some of you are just big fish guys. But Mitch and I are kind of waiting around for the Major League Fishing crappie tournaments.
Yeah.
So
we
have an opportunity to win.
Yeah, you know, you never know. It's crappie fishing still growing, guys. I mean, we're adding people every day. More, you know, especially with this COVID stuff. More and more people are wanting to get out and fish and spend time with their families. And there's, you know,
absolutely,
more people. And more people are starting to fish these smaller regional crappie clubs, which is great. And you know, it's kind of a training ground for, you know, fishing some of the major crappie trails. And listen, there's some great crappie trails out there. You've got American Crappie Trail. You've got Crappie Masters. You've got Crappie USA. They all have tournaments all across the country. And, you know, more and more people, it seems to me, like, are getting involved in fishing. And this LiveScope thing, it's kind of created a younger generation of really good anglers. And
it has.
And I think it's, you know, a lot of it's got to do with this younger generation. They kind of grew up playing video games. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. And so the older guys like myself and you know, some of the, you know, the teams like, you know, Caps and Coleman and you know, Tim Blackley and some of these guys, you know, we've had to learn how to use this LiveScope stuff. And these younger guys they've got really good hand-eye coordination. They've just really picked up the technology and embraced it, and they're doing really well. So you've got a lot of excitement going on in the crappie tournament industry because of the live scoping thing. And you got some people that are for it and some people that are against it. But I'll tell you one thing, there's no right way or wrong way to catch a crappie. If you like to troll, more power to you, and a live scope will help you. If you like to pull crankbaits, get after it. You know, if you like to single pole fish, hey buddy, it's all you. You know, I've taken single poling and I'm using this cord, this slip float thing, and I enjoy it, man. It's fun to watch that barber go down. It's fun to watch those fish, you know, bite that bobber.
Yeah, you don't like watching a bobber go under. They're just so
wild. And you know, it's kind of, and to be honest with you guys, it's the LiveScope thing's kind of created, you know, some excitement within the industry a little bit, and it's got more people out there doing it and some younger people. And like I said, man, I just enjoy fishing, and I like all types of fishing. I like to shoot docks, you know, that's a lot of fun, and I like to pull crankbaits. So, you know, that's why I tell everybody, you know, you hear people, they kind of, you know, some people kind of get down on, you know, say trollers or, you know, people that, you know, that like to pull and fish with multiple poles. Man, guys, there's no right or wrong way. It's just good, clean fun. And it's entertaining. It's something you can do with your friends and your family. And hey, by the way, they're great to eat. You know, if you want to keep a mess and bring them home, hey, it's all good too. But I tell you what, I've seen a lot of conservation oriented people here lately, you know, putting these bigger fish back. And that's important too. You know, when you, especially during the spawn and you're catching those really big females, you know, hey, yeah, keep some 10, 11, 12 inch ones to eat, but those bigger 15 or 14, 16 inch fish, hey, throw a few of them back, let them spawn, you know? So it's been, you know, this past year or two has been pretty fun. And despite the COVID thing, you know, that's had a lot of people really, you know, cranked up, and all the stuff that's going on in politics and everything else. The one thing I will tell you is fishing's still fun. And
that's right.
Shoot, man. All I want to do is fish, eat, and live. That's what I want.
There's people in this country rediscovering fishing as a whole new fun thing to do.
I agree, and I tell you, I've seen more people on the lake this year than I have ever. And you know, I mean, hey, it excites me. You know, and I like teaching folks. You know, I like showing the younger generation how to fish, and you know, it kind of goes back to, you know, when I was a kid, man, I would wake up and I'd grab my fishing gear and I'd go to the creek or I'd go to a pond, a lake. I wouldn't come home till dark, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of fun, man. And right. and I still enjoy it, and you know, all my friends enjoy it. You, I know you guys enjoy it, so it's exciting, and it's just a great sport to share with people for sure.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Squarebill Crankbaits, Bass Jig Heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, it's Tackle Time. This week, we're going to feature the Piddle Shad. That's right, the Pico Piddle Shad. How'd y'all like that little episode with Kent Driscoll, man? I mean, tell you what, that guy is a horse with a single pole and a live scope. What you put on the end of that line, doing the techniques that he just told us about, that's got to matter for you, too. So one of the top things to put on there is a jig that has got some action. So I like to team up like a 1/16 ounce wedge head with a piddle shad. Now, a Pico Piddle Shad is a double tail shad, and it's got two boot tails on the back of one shad body, and that thing you cannot hold it still in your hands. So them tails are going to bounce and flop around, and even though you got it on the end of that jig pole watching that fish, just try to hold it still. That fish can't resist that kind of an action. You give the Pico Piddle Shad a try, it'll work for you.
Yeah, it's just like it's a live minnow, isn't it?
It does. It doesn't require any help from you for action. Yep. You just poke it in there, and it will do its own swimming.
There you go. Man, what a great
and
show.
And it won't die on you like a minnow.
That's right. That does it for us this week on the Fishing Guide Podcast. It was great having Kent on the show, B&M Pro Staff Manager, also a War Eagle Boats Pro Staffer. Man, talking about live scoping, catching fish in so many different ways when he's live scoping now, and his new tournament partner. Mitch, what do you think about live scoping?
Oh, well, like, you know, it's coming of age, Brad. You know, you and I like to catch them all, but we're getting old. We might have to get us a live scope.
There you go. And I don't think holding on to my feet and making me hold my breath and looking underwater counts.
I know. You act like you're starting to get tired of that.
Well, I tell you what, I can't hold my breath long enough to mark all those crappie.
There you go.
I tell you what, anyone who wants to find out more about crop fishing, make sure they check out our show, the Fishing Guide Podcast. Subscribe, leave us some notes, and tell us how you like the show.
And tell us what you want to hear about.
That's right. For Mitch and myself, make sure you keep your hook sharp and lures in the water.